Good afternoon, First Baptist, Brandon Byrd. Great to meet you today. I pray for the Lord to bless you in a very special way. I've come to preach the Word of God with you tonight. I don't take that lightly. It's a great honor for me to do that, to open the Word of God and share it righteously and rightly divide the Word of God into you today. I'm going to take a look at King David, a man who loved God as much as anybody. God, he chased his own heart, man. He loved God. But today I'm going to take you where King David was stuck. And let me remind you, when he stood in front of a giant, he wasn't stuck. He killed that sucker because God said he could, and God let him do it. When he stood there in the armies that was surrounded that outnumbered him, he never was stuck because God fought the battle to the few he had. So see, King David didn't get stuck very often in his life. He lived in victory. He was a man of God. He loved God. But David is all of us. He stumbled. He kind of got off in some areas of his life that really he didn't need to be in. It's called sin. It takes us to a stumble. I don't care how good your resume is and how long you've loved the Lord and how much Bible you know or don't know. If you're not walking with God regularly and you decide to go on your own, you're going to get stuck. Let me tell you something. If you're not careful, when you get out of church, you can get stuck. And you have a hard time getting back to church. If you think that you can just come back when you're ready, you sound like an alcoholic. Every time I talk to one, they quit anytime they want. A church member who walks away from God, who says you can just come back anytime you want, try that a while. That isn't easy. It takes a big step to come forward. King David was the king. He was a man who loved God and God loved him. He was chosen. He was the run of the family. And he was God's man. And he killed giants. He battled. Nobody ever had seen him. Any man like him. But today I want to take you to Psalms chapter 40. He's stuck. Maybe you're stuck today. Maybe you have a great experience with God in yesteryears. You know, when I go to church and ask churches about how it's going, you know what they always tell me? Well, we used to have this. We used to do this. We used to have revivals. We used to see people say, we used to. Most churches live under used to. They're stuck. I just preached about apathy last week. It's just a silent killer. Just stuck. Well, David was stuck. He's really stuck. He was stuck. I'm going to read it to you today. And God knows where we are. He wants to spiritually take us where we can do something great. In Psalms chapter 40, we find King David looking into his past and his present condition. He's looking at his past to see all that God used to do and all that he could do. And now he's looking at his condition. He can't do nothing. Now let me tell you something. If you ever walked with God and you've seen his majesty and his miracles and his marvels around you, you miss it when it's not there. And there's too many churches in America that's never had the mysteries and the miracles of God. They didn't even know what it's supposed to be like. But if you ever had that, if you ever had that time when God, just the shining glory came into your life and just he illuminated it, man, he blessed it. That is great. King David had that. King David wasn't afraid. He took on this big giant that the whole army of Israel was afraid of. Only because he had faith in God. Once you lose your faith in God, and let me share this with you. If you're not walking with God, you've lost your faith in God because you're walking on your own. The reason why you're on your own, because you didn't not have faith in what God says. You want to be God for a while. Well, be God for a while because you're going to get stuck too. I've been stuck. We all know how miserable it is. So today I want to help you today to find a way to see what God can do. Pays to serve Jesus. Pays every step of the way. I want to help you find that today. As we look into our past, I want to see where King David is. In Psalms chapter 40, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined into me. He heard my cry. He says, man, I waited patiently. I was stuck, and I waited because I cried out to him. I was broken. I know what he could do. I've seen him do it. I've been a part of what he did. I was a blessing. I was just a finger in God's army, and he used it in such a way. He said, but I waited patiently. He inclined into me. He heard my cry. Let me share with you. When you really get close to God, when you're far away, it's got to break your heart. It's got to cause a tear. I remember the days in churches gone by and times when I'd seen people get on the altar and just cry, dampen the floor of that altar with tears because of a broken heart. Today, we don't even think that's natural or normal in church. But that's apathy. But let me just see what God's doing here. He waited patiently because the way I work with God, and I don't like it sometimes, I'm always on a need-to-know basis. He never tells me ahead of time. I got to wait patiently on the Lord. He inclined upon him. And let me tell you why. He heard my cry. He says, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit. David was locked down in a pit. I can picture this. And it wasn't just a pit. Let me help you what it says. It was a horrible pit. See, David's been in pits before. I'm sure he has. This is horrible. This was a horrible pit. He himself was in a predicament. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what the outcome was. He was in a pit. Maybe it's fear. Maybe fear. Maybe loneliness. Maybe spiritually. Or it could have been his son Absalom that tried to steal his throne and died on a bed. And maybe it was just his loss of his son. He lost his son in fellowship before he lost him in physical. Maybe that was the pit. See, David was going through a hard time. Or maybe it was that adultery with Bathsheba. Maybe it was his baby who died. Maybe that was his pit. See, everybody's got pits. But David was there. He was broken. I preached about death last Sunday, a couple Sundays now. I taught there's four kinds of death. There's a death of sin. Let me tell you something. Sin death will separate you from the people you love, and it may separate you all the way to the grave. The death of sin is destructive. When David had experienced some of that sin, he'd lived his life. Many things were talked about. You know what I love about the Bible? God talks about how great they were and how bad they were. He does not spin anything. He doesn't spin anything. It's the truth. David, when we see him at his best, and now we've seen him at his worst throughout the scriptures. In the things that he felt, he bit to. It was a horrible pit out of a miry clay, quicksand. You know, and let me help you here. The harder you try to get out of quicksand, the faster you die. Because the more you move around, you know what happens? In a quicksand, you know what I'd probably do? I'd probably eat chocolate pie. You know what chocolate pie does? It makes me heavy. You know what heavy does? Kills me in the sand. I die quicker. So see, I just want you to know, when you are in quicksand, you better wait on the Lord. Because when you see it going down, the only one who can stop it, pay attention, is God. And God wants to stop it. He allowed David to get in this pit, this horrible pit. And David is there. He said, he brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He did that. He is a God that could do that in a very special way. He established him. Let me tell you something. Are you an established Christian? Do you know what your identity is spiritually or socially? Are you established? What is your character? Character is a big thing. Character is what we are before God. Reputation is what we are in front of people. Character is what we are in front of God. You can have a great reputation and a terrible character. You can have that. I'll be preaching that in a couple of weeks when we talk about at the judgment seat of Christ for Christians. You can have a lost life and a saved soul. That's amazing. But that can happen. And so he's in that situation. He's in this quagmire. He don't know how to get out of it. And sooner or later, we got to be at 16 or 66. Life begins to work on us. Life wears us down. Life is heavy. Life is brokenness. And without God's help, he is the head. We'll never find our way. Where did David find relief? He didn't find it in a new army. Didn't find it in a pile of money. He didn't find it through his horoscope. He didn't find it through a preacher. He found it through God. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined it to me. And I heard him cry. heard my cry, and he brought me out of a horrible pit. You know, when I get in a pit, I try everything first. It's amazing. Maybe I'll go out and maybe build a race car. Maybe that'll get me better. Buy a bigger house. Maybe that'll get me better. And maybe I'll buy a new wardrobe. Maybe I'll lose 10 pounds. Maybe that'll get me better. Maybe I'll gain 10 pounds. Maybe that'll get me better. I'll try everything besides God. Isn't it amazing how dumb we are? Man, we're in a horrible pit. We try everything under the sun. But David had already passed that. He was horribly broken. And he inclined to wait patiently for God to bring him through this. He heard his prayer. When you learn to pray to God, he listens. It's marvelous how he listens. He set my foot upon a rock. Now, I was reading Psalms. I was reading this morning some scriptures outside of this. And in Psalm 61, "Hear my cry, O Lord, attend to my prayer. For the end of the earth I will cry to you, and when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." So David said, man, I got that rock. I'm standing on the rock that doesn't sink. Let me tell you something. I've never been in quicksand. But if I ever spent any time in quicksand, I got on a rock. I'd love that rock. I'd stand there and jump up and down on that rock. Man, I'd feel good to be on the rock. That rock is where it's at. And that rock is Jesus. In Matthew, let me just say this. You know, people ask me, how do people make it in this world without God? How do people go to a funeral without God? How do they make it? How do they live their life without God? How do they make it? Well, let me just answer the question. They don't make it. Because if you don't build your house upon the rock, you're going to fall. See, storms come to all of us. So people who live their lives out of God's kingdom power, they don't make it. It may look like they make it. They may have a new car, a new this, and they're trying to make it. But on the inside, and what God does in my life is all inside stuff. He changes me inside out. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him the wise man who built his house on a rock." Now, I just talked the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is impacted with truths and principles of right from wrong and how God works. He's a principled God. He says, if you just listen to the sermon that I've just preached to you, he says, "I will be like him, the wise man who builds on a rock. And then the rain descends, the flood comes, the wind blows and beat upon the house, and it did not fall. It was founded on the rock." Now listen to what he says here. "Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, will he be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand? And when the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, it fell, and great was their fall." So let me help you understand this. People apart from God, they may look like they're making it, but apart from God. In Hollywood, the people who live apart from God, you know the only time they find any comfort is on stage. When they're off stage, they're miserable. You know, if they're not performing and making people laugh or getting attention or producing the what they like doing by acting, see, they got to be on a stage to make it. But see, most of their lives is only on a stage for moments. But the rest of their life is broken. Because if you don't build your house upon the rock, you fall. Same storms. Let me tell you something. The lost people, saved people, have the same storms. You got it? See, it rains on the just and the unjust, just the same. Storms come. The devil is trying. Matter of fact, the devil's trying harder in my life to stop me than a lost person because he already owns it. The rock choice is there to make. He established my goings. He set my foot on the rock. He established my step. Wow. You know, I use the word a lot. I like to be sure-footed. Sure-footed means to me that I can climb that. I'm good-footed. I can get there. And what the Bible says to David, he says, "He established my goings, and he brought me to that rock, and all of a sudden he established my steps." The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Boy, that's a step you need to step. That's how you need to get there. The life of Jesus being fulfilled, his character is in his life. He's changing us in a very special way. Then he goes on to say, put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Put a new song in my mouth. I'm not a very good singer, but I sing a lot. There's some times, you know, when I was in my ministry, in my life, there's been many times I've been in a valley. You just, it's okay. Count it a joy. Down there in that valley is where God's going to change you inside and out. You tried everything on the outside, didn't work. But you know what got me through the valley? A good old hymn. A good old song. On the mountaintop. He's the same as he in the valley. I used to sing that song. I had to hold on to that song. I'd read my Bible. But when he gave me a new song to sing, it changed everything about me. There's something about the melody of heaven that touches the heart of his children. He got a new song. He was singing it. It brought joy to him. And not only brought joy to him, it brought joy to other people. Changed his whole life. There is a power enough to help us. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Let me just help you this. There is enough power in God to help the weakest. And there's enough grace in God to help the worthless. There's enough power of God in God to help the weakest. And there's enough grace in God to help the worthless. I love that story. I love that factor. That God is so good in my weakness, he gives me power. In my stupidity, he gives me grace. He declared to the world a new lifestyle. A new lifestyle, as he declares to the world. And I want to read, just skip forward here. In verse 9, I will proclaim the good news of righteousness in the great congregation. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord, for yourself know. He's going to speak the truth. He's going to love people. You know why? He didn't like that pit. He didn't like that horrible pit. But God came. He waited. He answers the prayer. What are you praying about? Maybe you're in a horrible pit. Maybe it feels like quicksand. I will tell you, there's nothing more powerful resource that I have in my life than prayer. Prayer is where I can talk directly to God. I don't get an operator. I get God. He listens to me. Call on me, and I'll show you great and marvelous things you know nothing of. Right in the middle of a jail cell, I tell you that. If you could just learn to have the power of God. He completed his assignment. He says, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. You know what? First Baptist Church needs some of that in his congregation. Every church does, especially now. We need to have the melody of heaven. We need to have that prayer life. We need to have that rock that builds character, not reputations, but character, and changes us. His delight to do his will. He says in verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. You know, if it's not in your heart, somebody can talk you out of it. You know, the devil talked Eve out of, and Adam out of, a paradise. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be real within you. And when it is, it changes everything. I hope by God's grace, he can revive our spirits. I hope by God's grace, he can change our ways. You know why? There's giants that I still got to kill. There's giants still in my path. There's giants that are bigger than me. And when I can get on that rock, David could fight the giants again. He could watch them fall again. But in that pit, all he could do was cry out, oh, mercy, God, and the grace of God, put him back on the front line to deal with giants. I've got giants, and you got them. And you better get on the rock. You better receive God by faith, and you better move in a new world. Because when you stand with the character of God, your melody is different. Your power is real. and God changes, and giants fall, and giants fall, and giants fall. May you be that giant slayer, because God has set us free from the pit, a horrible pit, a real bad pit. It stunk. And now he's out fighting giants. Only God can take my bad and bring good out of it. That's what God does for my life. That's the reason I love him so much. He takes my bad. His grace covers my sins. And yours too. So put your best foot forward. If you think you're done killing giants, well, you're in trouble. Because the devil's got a lot of giants out there. Just for you and for me. Let me pray for you. Father, do something in us that we can't do ourselves. Because we've tried ourselves. Just doesn't work very well. Father, lead us to that rock. Father, may we wait patiently. May we pray. And Father, may we get out of that quicksand that destroys us. And we're trying and wore out. And come to the character and the knowledge and the harmony of God through your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.